Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
In this Bible adventure, the next stage of rebuilding the city of Jerusalem takes place under the enthusiastic leadership of Nehemiah, the new governor of Judah. Although the destroyed temple of God had at last been rebuilt, the people said that building the city walls was too hard to do. They had tried once and then they'd been stopped by the king of Babylon. So the Judeans now thought very negatively about trying again to attempt such a huge task. When Nehemiah came from the king of Persia's palace in Babylon and talked enthusiastically with the people in Judah, he told them that God was with them and reminded them not to be afraid. So in time, the people agreed to work together to fix the city's big problem.
The enthusiasm and faith of Nehemiah was contagious. Many in that multitude went to their homes filled with zeal, encouraged to start immediately building Jerusalem and its broken-down walls.
But dear, we can't just get up and leave, even for such a good purpose as helping rebuild Jerusalem. The crops need tending. Also, the few sheep and cows we have.
Remember what Moses and the prophets have been telling Israel all along. They're still telling us, make God first in all that we do, and he will not forsake us, but bless and prosper us. I'm going to Jerusalem and help build. It can be done, and I shall be a part of it.
I'll go with you.
For years, we've talked about rebuilding our walls. Just talk, talk, talk. Now we have a man who's going to do something about it. A man who says it can be done. Let's do it now. I'm going to take what few tools I have and offer my services. It can be done.
I'll go with you. I'll take a basket. Perhaps I can carry away rubble. At least do something to help.
You, governor of Judah, Nehemiah, I am but a priest, yet I must say unto you that I don't believe it can be done. We've tried to build the walls before, but the Samaritans and other enemies of Judah have always succeeded in stopping us. I have no reason to believe it'll be any different now.
You're a priest?
Yes, sir.
As a priest, you are supposed to teach the people about God, be an example to them?
Yes, sir.
You believe in God?
Well, of course, sir.
You believe God is all-powerful?
Well, of course.
Can enemies of God conquer God's people?
Well, yes, sir. Israel was taken captive into Babylon, to name one instance. Another is...
Why? Why were the Israelites conquered by the forces of evil?
Well, I don't know.
Yes, you do. Why?
Well, I suppose it was because Israel had fallen away from serving and worshiping God, and in God...
Exactly. Now, on the other hand, have any of God's chosen people, as long as they did obey and worship God in truth and in spirit, have any of them been conquered or defeated? Take, for instance, Elijah and his servant, who were completely surrounded by a large and fierce army of the enemy, and the three worthies in the fiery furnace. Also Daniel himself in the den of lions. Well?
Yeah, you are right. God does take care of his own. Tell me, Nehemiah, what can I do to help?
As a priest, you can circulate among the people, and by words and action inspire them to have hope, energy, enthusiasm, and determination.
Yes.
Each man you help to become stronger will, in turn, help someone else to be courageous and strong.
Yes.
If you display zeal and high courage, others will feel it, for it is contagious.
Yes, I believe it can be done.
Of course it can. God is with us. He will help us. And if all men of Judah will do their best, the wall will be built in record time.
Nehemiah organized the work, assigning the building of certain portions of the wall and certain gates to be the responsibility of definite families, groups, and factions.
Your priest, Eliashib, will build the sheep gate and the wall from the Tower of Mia to the Tower of Hananel. Ye men of Jericho, start at Hananel and build the wall westward. Zachar, son of Imri, you and your families will build...
And thus small portions of the wall and the gates thereof were built by families and separate groups. Everyone pitched in and worked. Priests, rulers, physicians, shopkeepers, men skilled in the arts, old men, young men, even old women and mothers did what they could to make the walls of Jerusalem a reality. Some carried stone to the site. Some mixed mortar. Some brought the material as needed. Some carried away rubble.
Your portion of the wall, it is not being built.
We are nobles of Tekoi, above labor such as this.
If ye build not, ye shall have no part in Jerusalem or Judah.
We will build, sir.
In chapter 3 of the Bible book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah named the heads of the different families and gave them sections of the walls to build close to their homes. This had a twofold purpose. One, the families would be less inclined to do a second-rate job of building their section of the wall if this meant putting their own family's security at risk. And two, the workers would be close to their families if their enemies from outside made an attack. Some of the builders came from other cities within the kingdom of Judah to help. They stayed there in Jerusalem while the building work was going on. The success in getting the work started on the wall came from teamwork that Nehemiah established with the people. They had to bring in supplies and make the mortar to hold the stones together, remove rubbish and rubble from the site, and provide food for the workers. People from all walks of life had to work together on these tasks. If we belong to Christ, our focus must be on building up his heavenly kingdom here on earth. Nehemiah also knew all the people on the worksites by name, what job they were doing, and encouraged them. He didn't criticize them. Nehemiah coordinated their work efforts and gave them a clear vision of the project's goal. Then he delegated authority to area supervisors so that all decisions didn't have to be constantly referred back to him. Despite this teamwork success, it wasn't long before Sanballat, the governor of Samaria, and his friends tried to discourage the workers. Sanballat criticized and mocked the work being done on rebuilding the walls. As soon as Nehemiah started doing something for God, he came against opposition. We too can expect spiritual battles when we stand up as citizens of Christ's kingdom. Satan will oppose us at every turn. We need to expect this and not be discouraged when setbacks come. It's ironic that the Almighty God who created the heavens and the world wants willing human hands to do his work here on earth. God could have used his angels, but no, he wants people who've been redeemed from the death penalty of their sin to become partners with Jesus Christ to carry out God's program of saving and caring for people here on earth. However, when we refuse to yield to God's call and divine demand over our lives, we oppose the primary aim of redemption and put restraints on how we'll help in God's program. God doesn't want us to be like the nobles of Tekoa, who were reluctant to work in God's building agenda. What use is your position on earth if you don't use it to fully support God's work? God often puts his people into positions that enable them to fulfill his eternal purpose. But each person must prove him or herself to be dependable. It's the sin of omission to know God's burden for others that he lays on your heart, yet refuse to respond to it. Maybe the reasons we can give include a feeling of inadequacy for the task, or being so disorganized that others think that you're too lazy to care, or the person in need doesn't really deserve help. Like Nehemiah, today missionaries sometimes travel a very long way to reach the place where they believe God wants them to spread the good news of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. One such person was a lady called Isabel Kun, a Canadian missionary who travelled to China before going overland to a people group near the Burmese or Myanmar border with China. It took her 10 years to get to the people she was called to help. Isabel, or Belle, as her family called her, was brought up in a Christian family. Her mother was president of a church missionary society, and missionaries were often staying at her house whenever they were departing to and from their fields of service. Bell knew firsthand of the hardships and language difficulties the missionaries faced, and so when she was 14 years of age, she decided that she would never leave the comforts of her home for some isolated part of the world. Bell was a very good student and decided in her heart that she'd go to university, specialize in English, and become a university lecturer. At Bell's very first English literature class, the lecturer set the tone that no one believed in Genesis of the Bible or God creating the world these days. He asked if any student did. Bell and another person put up their hands, but afterwards doubts settled in her mind. Did she believe in creation of the world only because her parents had taught her to do so? Although she'd seen many startling answers to prayer, did that really prove that God existed? She stopped reading her Bible each morning and going to church. As she was still living at home, her parents weren't happy about her decisions, but they didn't try to force her to go to church with them. She met a returned soldier who was the answer to her dreams of falling in love, and for 2 years they were constantly seeing each other. They planned to marry after their studies were finished. But one day, in her final year at university, a friend broke the news to Bell that her boyfriend was taking out another girl behind her back. She said goodbye. As the following weeks went by, Bell fell into depression and couldn't sleep. One night, a voice in her head told her to end her life. She got out of bed to follow the instructions, but then heard her father groan in his sleep. How could she treat him so badly by killing herself? To do so would be so utterly selfish, and especially during the Christmas season. Bell went back to bed and thought about a section of literature in which the author was a Christian and believed in God. More than that, the author believed that peace could be found by knowing and doing God's will. Bell decided to make a bargain with God. She said, "God, if there be a God, if you will prove to me that you are, and if you will give me peace, I will give you my whole life. I'll do anything that you ask me to do, go anywhere you send me, for the rest of my life." She fell asleep, and she had the best sleep that she had since the breakup. She decided not to tell her parents about her arrangement between herself and God. One Sunday afternoon, Bell allowed her mother to talk her into attending a Bible class. The teacher was an educated and gentle Christian man, and he intelligently refuted many of the liberal ideas that she'd been taught at university. Bell got back to reading her Bible and times of prayer. In the months that followed after, Bell committed herself to missionary service in China. And just as it happened to Nehemiah in the Bible, opposition to going there quickly came. For Bell, it was hard to take, because her own parents, who'd helped so many other missionaries go abroad, stood against her going overseas. Another obstacle Bell had also to face was a lack of money for her study full-time at Bible college. But God has ways of working through people's problems for anyone who is willing to do His will and pray about all things. In many ways, God overcame Bell's obstacles for reaching the people of the Lisu tribe near the Burmese border. She married fellow missionary and linguist John Kun in her second year of arriving in China. John and Bell ministered to the Lisu people for 16 years. When the rainy season arrived each year and all normal farm life had to cease, Bell took advantage of the people's availability by holding a rainy season Bible school, where she presented the Christian gospel and taught the basics of Christian faith. From these classes, countless men became believers, and then evangelists and pastors, and they took the Christian message to untold numbers of nationals and travelers throughout China. Her life of doing God's work can be summed up in the words of Job chapter 23, verse 10. "But He, that's God, knows the way that I take. When He has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.